Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Gold Mountain Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol GMTN and on the OTC markets under the symbol GMTNF. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Golden Mountain is focused on the Elk Gold project. This project has some drilling that is ongoing right now, and the company is also producing gold from this asset. Two folds here of the company. We are going to focus more so on the last two news releases that came out November 25th today and November 16th, both recapping some drill results from this phase two program. We are chatting with the CEO, Kevin Smith, from Gold Mountain Mining. Kevin, before we get into the high-grade drill results, just remind everybody what this phase two program is all about, what the goals are at this Elk Gold project, please.
Yeah, the first 10,000 meters were just continuing that infill and step out program that we did in phase one, looking to add ounces in the Siwash North, which is where all our resources currently are. And the second half of the program, we went out into the Gold Creek zone, the Lake zone, the South zone, as well as the Elusive zone, which has never been drill tested, and starting to look at delineating new resources in some areas and hopefully make it a new discovery out in that Elusive zone.
So let's talk about some of these results then, because you did hit high-grade gold. You have gold grades ranging from 5 grams per ton up to 17 grams per ton, all around a meter wide. So you are drilling out this vein system. What are these results telling you in terms of expansion possibilities?
Yeah, it just shows us that we can continue drilling out the Siwash North and adding more ounces and just increasing the footprint of our mineable area. So we're really excited at the way the assays are coming back so far. These are great results for us. We're fairly confident that these are going to dovetail nicely into that resource update that we're looking to put out towards the end of this month or early next month. And ultimately, the goal there is to hopefully delineate some new resources, but as well get this up over a million ounces.
Well, Kevin, another thing that jumps off the page to me when looking at both releases is that you've got that continuity that you wanted to see. I mean, some of these are pretty far spaced. They're 300 meters apart, and you're still seeing that consistent mineralization. So how does this tie together in the overall plan for economics for this as you continue to push the boundaries of where these resources could grow to feed the beast?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we took this project over, a gentleman who I think you guys are familiar with, Quentin Henny, he reached out to us and said he really liked the asset so much so that he also tried to buy it about 5 to 6 years ago. And he said, you know, you guys got to start drilling deeper and you got to start, you know, keep stepping out. There's lots more gold here. It's just got to be drilled. So that's what we're doing. We were always really focused on getting it into production, but we also want to show people that there's scalability here. And, you know, we think there's multi-million ounce potential in the Siwash North, as well as the other areas that have already been drill intercepted with the high-grade sulfides. And then ultimately, we want to show people not only can this thing be a producer and kick off cash flow, but it's got huge scalability potential. And, you know, we're drilling in different geology on the project too. So we want to show, you know, hopefully a different flavor with some bulk tonnage style target or just some more high grades in different areas on the property. So all about showing the market scalability and that we got really good value when we purchased this asset from Equinox.
So Kevin, as you guys keep drilling here and showing scalability, overall size, even on the back of this resource update that's coming, is the plan though to bring some of these areas, especially close to the current mine, into production in the near term? Or is it simply to build ounces, say, for the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, we're definitely looking to continue building ounces. We've got a lot of work in front of us in the Siwash North, getting that into production and delivering ore to New Afton. So on the production side, our focus will be on Siwash North, as that's where all our highest confidence ounces currently reside. But the goal of these other satellite zones is to show the scalability. And in year four of our current business plan right now, we're looking to scale this up to a minimum of 65,000 ounces a year in just the Siwash North zone, but also looking at establishing additional open pits on site so we can get this up over 100,000 ounces and closer to 120,000 is the goal of the company right now. So add ounces, which will allow us to beef up our production profile in year four and continue expanding the elk in a non-dilutive manner from the cash flow that kicks off from this initial production.
Thanks for giving us an update there and how that feeds into the production profile. Let's dive in just a little bit more, though, into some of these satellite areas. We'll wait on the Elusive Zone for next because I know it's kind of a different geology. But first, there's some of those other satellite areas you're drilling, like the Gold Creek, the Lake Zone, the South Zone. What do you hope to find there, and how does that tie into the Siwash North part of the deposit?
Yeah, when we picked up this asset, you know, those zones were already drill tested and they had quite a bit of data already. We just need to go in and infill a few spots. And we feel like we'll be in a position, if the assays come back from the lab, how we're expecting to delineate these maiden resources and then look to start developing more open pits on the property. So like the goal with this is to just show people just how much value we got. There was no geological model on any of these zones. I guess past operators just weren't interested in them. But again, that 127,000 meters of historic drilling that we got with this property, it's showing to be an extremely good value. We're finding new veins, not only in the Siwash North, but just veins that were overlooked or missed altogether in these other satellite zones as well. So we're going to continue with the aggressive core relogging program that we have. That's super cheap exploration and very cheap ounces for us to add to the resource. And then with that data, it allows us to go out and be really targeted with the drills. You know, I think we're going to surprise some people with this resource update that's coming up.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to do some exploration right out of your drill core shack because there's so many assays you can re-log, and it does give you some really good historic data to run on when you target your new drill holes and put that thesis together. One of the other ones, though, that you're working on, Kevin, is the Elusive Zone, and it's a little bit of a different beast. I believe you said it was about 10 kilometers away from the Siwash North area, and it's a different geology, and it's more of a bulk tonnage target. Tell us what you think could be prospective about this Elusive Zone and how that could actually be maybe a second deposit for the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So this area, everyone's known about it who's had the project, but I guess no one wanted to drag a drill out there. So we decided with the second highest gold and soil anomalies on the property and Kodiak MPD to our southwest, only 3.5 kilometers, that we'd go out there and start poking a few maiden drill holes and just see what we could find. We're pulling out some really interesting looking core, and we're waiting back for assays on that. But some of the visible gold that we're seeing is phenomenal, and we're really excited to see what the lab has in store for us. But like you said, this could add a whole new dimension to our project. Even if we hit the high grade golds out there, that would obviously be great, but we're hoping for a more bulk tonnage style target and hopefully have some copper come back from the lab results as well.
Now, providing that the drill assays come back as hoped for and that they're mineralized in the way that would be economic, would you consider developing that as something you could also truck to the new Afton mine from New Gold? Would that be something you could add to the mix, or would it have to be milled separately? What is your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, right? Obviously, grade's going to determine whether or not we can absorb that transportation cost to New Afton. If the grades are high enough, obviously, we'd have to do some metallurgy and make sure that it's something that'll work with the flow sheet that New Afton has over there. But, you know, we like the business model of not having to build a mill. I mean, BC is a pretty tough jurisdiction. You need a lot of water to build a mill on site. Then you got to store tailings. You know, we have a very eco-friendly provincial regulatory environment here. So this model that we're pushing forward with, it allows us to get into mining, get the acid rock drainage potential off the site, all of our waste rocks and dirt. So we really like the model of delivering ore to New Afton continually. We think we have a strong partner there. But, you know, never say never on long-term building a mill on site. It'll all depend on how those assays come back and, you know, what makes the most sense. We try to let the economics drive decision-making here at Gold Mountain, and we'll continue to do that as we see what we come up with in the Elusive Zone.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot, Kevin, but you did say never, and so I did have that question in the back of my mind, and I'm sure other investors do as well. Do you think if you found enough scale on all these satellite deposits, you know, once you do more drilling on the lake, the south, and the Gold Creek zone, once you do more on the Elusive Zone, could it be worth the candle, you know, maybe in a couple of years to build a mill on site and have more of a hub and spoke process on your land package?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of trade-off studies right now for that PFS that we have coming out. And PFS economics suggests that it really doesn't make sense to build the mill on site until we get this up to 100 to 120,000 ounces a year. So again, we're going to let the economics drive decision making as we, see the potential to scale this thing up. And if it is a possibility to get up and hit those production targets, then we'd be in a position to start thinking about building a mill on site. But for the time being, our focus is really on that high grade, open pittable first 3 years of the mine plan in order to self-fund expansion into the underground portion of the mine and continuing trucking ore to New Afton until we find ourselves in a position where we've got a production profile high enough to justify that CapEx.
And Kevin, just remind people, as far as this agreement you have, there's also some advantageous laws in British Columbia where if you process, I believe it's less than 75,000 tons per year, you don't have to have a certain permit. Walk us through, again, how that works and how that will be the plan over the first 3 years and keeps you kind of under the radar, but it's very cost effective to do it that way.
Yeah, so this project came with an M199 permit that was in care and maintenance, and we were able to reactivate that permit and get right into mining without having to do an environmental assessment. The rule is that you have to stay under 75,000 tons of ore being removed a year. So with us not building a mill on site and us having no tailing storage, the model allowed us to rapidly get into production and start delivering ore to New Afton without that 2.5-3 year timeline of doing an environmental assessment. What this does is it allows us to develop the company in a non-dilutive manner, and we can pay for the expansion up into that larger production profile. Right now we're 200 tons per day. We're looking to ramp up to a minimum of 900 tons per day in Q3 of 2024. But we can pay for all of that from the proceeds of mining and not be endlessly diluting our shareholders. So management and board are some of the largest check writers in the deal, some of the largest shareholders in the deal. So we're very aligned with shareholders in that we don't want to constantly be diluting while we were waiting for that environmental assessment. This allows us to get through the teething phase of mining and a smaller scale and scale up through the proceeds that kick off from this 19,000 ounce a year production profile in years 1 to 3.
So in a nutshell, it sounds like you're using the production as your ATM machine. And so it's producing the revenues to allow you to keep exploring your property. How do you think that will shape up for your drill plans for 2022? How many meters do you expect to drill next year? And how aggressive can you be with that production profile helping feed the exploration plans of the company?
Yeah, we just wrapped up our Elusive Zone drill program, which was the tail end of our phase two, and we brought it right back to Siwash North. And we're doing a whole bunch more step out and infill drilling in Siwash North and a little bit of confirmation drilling just so we can get dialed in on the mining side. So we're right into phase three. Phase two was slated to be 10,000 meters. We really liked the core we were seeing, so we added a bunch of holes. It's going to end up around 14,000 meters, all said and done. And you're likely going to see the same thing happen on phase three. These are just successive programs back to back. We're very lucky to be in South Central BC. This isn't a golden triangle scenario where you got 3-4 months to drill. We're able to hammer this thing year round. So we've got multiple drills going on site right now, and we're going to continue aggressively drilling this thing. Again, with the cash flow that kicks off, that's not only used to expand the production profile, it's also going to be used to aggressively drill the project out, as we feel continuing to add ounces and show the market scalability is going to be one of the best ways we can add shareholder value.
Well, Kevin, just as we look forward over the next, let's say, quarter or two quarters, obviously we know you're ramping up production and there's going to be a lot of eyes on how that's going. But what other takeaways do you want to leave investors with for what they should be watching for from your news flow and what company milestones are coming up that they should keep on their calendar?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gold Mountain came out of the gates really aggressive. And there were a lot of people who sort of questioned whether or not this young team could execute on the plan. I think you're going to see that similar aggressive approach in 2022, not only at the Elk, but, we're going to be taking a serious look at some M&A opportunities, continuing to bolt on near-term production with a lot of exploration upside. We think it's important to diversify and get another asset into our portfolio just to continue showing the market we're looking to scale. As you guys are aware, we've now uplisted to the TSX. Once we book some revenue, our year end is January 30th. We'll get year end tidied up, and that'll put us in a position, hopefully, to uplist onto one of the US major indices. And again, just continuing to really push hard and show the market that we're serious about building a production story here. And, you know, a little bit different flavor in the small scale production that feeds expansion. But if we can execute on it, I think we're going to be able to turn a lot of heads.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Kevin. But yeah, it's turning out to be a very exciting organic growth story for a growth-oriented producer, but with a lot of exploration upside. And congratulations again to you and your team on getting the TSX listing. And that is pretty exciting if you could also get uplisted on the U.S. as well. We'll keep following along. And in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Gold Mountain Mining. But keep us posted as more news hits the wire, Kevin. And we appreciate you spending a few minutes with the folks here at the KE Report to update our audience.
Yeah, thanks as always for having us back. Looking forward to sharing some more drill results soon with you guys.